With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate.
So the Inflection Point Summit gathering, whatever you want to call it, was in Wellington on Cable Street on Saturday afternoon. And we talked with Rachel Stewart and Catherine Chua as we're leading up to the event, I think Wednesday last week. And obviously the event has taken place. We're curious to know what happened. I wasn't there. I was in Auckland at another event. Otherwise, I would have been around there at least observing. So I want to welcome on the program the organizer of the event, Rhys Williams. Thanks for coming in, Rhys.
You're welcome, Paul.
And Ro Edge back on RCR on this program. Hi, Ro.
Hi again, Paul.
Okay, so we know the event has just been. Rhys, just tell us the run-up to the actual event. Whose idea was it? How did it come together? The venue was a cool new venue, council-related. So how did it all come together before we talk about how it went and what happened?
Look, it really it came together quite organically. Myself and Catherine Chua and a couple of other concerned parents, we had been speaking about gender ideology for some time, and myself for the last 3 years. It happened that we came across, were able to get access to a booking that had been made at the Takina Conference Centre here in Wellington from last year, and the original bookers weren't able to use it. I knew them, and it was going to expire, and I just asked them if I could grab it with a view to use it to bring people together to discuss gender ideology, given the fact that most people could never get a hold of a platform. Most people certainly couldn't get a hold of a venue like that. And I thought it was a great idea to reach out all different people from all different backgrounds, beliefs, who are united in the one thing that we believe in, the important tenets and principles that women and children need to be protected.
Hmm. Was there always potentially an issue with the venue? I mean, how did you sort of reveal what was planned? Were there any issues there?
Oh, look, interestingly, there has been conversations bandied about by some of the councillors, for example, about how we actually secured the booking. And that's, a lot of it is just completely incorrect. So as I mentioned before, there had been a previous booking for another event that was made possibly 7 months ago, a very long time ago.
Yeah.
We told them that the event had changed its name and we had rearranged the contract, and that would have been 6 weeks ago. So they had plenty of knowledge. Now, they didn't actually, this is the interesting part, they never actually asked us what the subject was about.
That's why I asked you, wondering if that was the case, because that could have early on rung alarm bells that could have made it a lot more difficult.
Oh, absolutely. And it wasn't that we were trying to be obstructive or not transparent, but they just simply didn't ask us. We did have some speakers. We did tell them that we've got an event and there will be some political politicians there, and it will be a political event by nature. And that was, as far as they were concerned, that was good enough for them. So,
Ro, what was the first sign that there people were getting antsy about this, the sort of finding out what was planned? We know what happened, Posey Parker, Wellington smaller, albeit, but what sort of noise started to be made? What was the din in the camp that wouldn't want this to happen?
Oh, it was just the same old, trying to cancel voices. I mean, they don't want us to talk because they don't want to hear us. They don't want people to hear our voices, because they know when they do that they will agree with us. And so the best thing they can do is, obviously they tried the cancellation first off, that didn't work, and so then they went for the usual protest. But I mean, what was quite good is they were protesting across onto Papa's ground, so they were well away from us. So like it didn't worry us at all, and it wasn't a big group. I think it was just...
Oh, that's, yeah. I could ask you how big the group was, but what do you reckon in size?
I don't know. I would have thought maybe 150 people looking down on it. It wasn't a lot, considering all of the media coverage they got in the week leading up to it, all the free media coverage, and having the mayor and a councillor behind them. It was a pretty average turnout, to be fair.
That's interesting, isn't it? Compare that with the Posey Parker event, which was way bigger than that. And, you know, well, everyone knows what that was like.
I do wonder, though, Paul, if they learnt from that, right? Because they got so much negative press and it really woke up a whole lot of Kiwis because of their appalling behaviour. And I do wonder if there's been a bit of self-reflection that actually it wasn't a good look for them. So maybe they need to pull back a bit. But, I mean, they didn't pull back totally, did they, Rhys?
No, they didn't. But you're completely right. I mean, the fact of the matter, and they're aware of this, is the landscape of public sentiment and opinion is moving. It has changed, and it's going against them. And as we said at the actual event, and that event was something really remarkable happened in Wellington yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The amount of unity and the feeling in that room was just, it was overpowering.
You could feel it.
It was palpable.
It was amazing. I mean, I have so much gratitude to Rhys and Glenn and the other guys, everyone that brought that together, because it was just an incredible place to be. Like, so many brave people willing to stand up for what they believed in and speak their truth and not have any fear about the ramifications for them. It just, it was incredible. Like, I'm still fizzing from it. So thank you so much, Rhys.
So a quick point to some of what was said. You've mentioned the crowd reaction. How big was the attendance and what sort of level?
Yeah, there was 300 people in the room. We sold over twice that in tickets because a lot of people, obviously, they wanted to come. Maybe they couldn't make it, or they simply didn't want to get caught up in a possible melee at the front with protesters. But we will be sending, once we edit, well, this is interesting, once we edit the video, we'll be sending that all out to the people who purchased a ticket. Now, right. I would say this, Paul, just to give you a flavour of what we've been battling with Takina for the past 2 weeks. Mm. They had, when we booked, when I got a hold of that booking, we had added in an AV package that included streaming capability and also video. They were going to video the whole lot for us. At approximately 9 o'clock on Friday, 9 p.m. Friday, we got a phone call to say that, oh, that's not actually part of your package, even though they had told us, and it's in the original arrangement. So after an hour on the phone, they came to the conclusion that they'll look into trying to stream it for us and video in it, but they said that they couldn't get a hold of the equipment. So that was interesting. So we were very lucky, and I must put a put some plaudits out there for Destiny, for Destiny Church. Brian Tamaki, we rang Brian, and he put someone on the plane from Wellington, two camera people, and they were down there, the first plane, first flight in the morning on Saturday, and they came and they filmed the whole lot for us.
Wow. Okay. I'm not surprised to hear what you just said, but I wonder what would have been the cause of it. Do you think they had staff who just spat the dummy, walked out, and they couldn't do the job? Or was this a way of actually them at that level of management or whatever the place trying to limit distribution of anything outside the venue? Do you have your suspicions, can you say?
Yeah, look, my suspicions and my feelings, and probably a logical conclusion to come to, is that they were being purposely quite obstructive.
Right.
To make the experience. Oh, look, I'll give you a few other examples. One thing that when I first started engaging with that management team, I asked them in particular, because we weren't doing catering because the cost was too prohibitive, but I asked them in particular, would the CAF be open for the entire day? They reassured me several times, including in writing, that it would be. On Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we were told that the CAF will be closing at 10 a.m.
Is that their normal closing time, by the way?
No, it's not. No. Ah. No. They're supposed to be open the whole day. They're open 7 days.
So they were foregoing trade?
Correct. Now, when I brought this up with Andrew, who runs the centre, his response was incredible. He told me that the attendees can walk across the road to Te Papa's CAF that will be open. Now, mindful, that's where the protesters were.
Yeah, right. Oh, dear. Clown world.
Clown world, indeed.
Yeah. All right. So there was that. Okay, but you keep on going. There was some nasty stuff thrown around, which is, I mean, what the hell?
They just lowered themselves to a level where, I mean, they just showed up. They showed themselves for who they are, right? It was just appalling.
I'm unsure. There's varying reports what it was. I smelt it. It was something very, very vile. So there's some posts online saying that it was a stink bomb. There's also people saying that it was human excrement. it was so what happened is, as Brian Tamaki was coming in, and he was flanked by his guys, so he had all his men there, and the police were there. And the police said, don't worry, if anything happens, we'll intervene. Well, as he was crossing the road and just about when he was entering the main doors, a gentleman, well, I wouldn't say gentleman, a man rushed him and threw a bottle. Now, Brian's guys tackled him, so it sent the bottle careering off. At the same time, another person threw a bottle and it exploded, but it missed Brian and it covered the police officers.
Oh, dear. Well, there's some, there's an irony, thinking back to Albert Park.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so apparently the police officers were having a shower on the venue. It was, and I felt really bad for them. It was a terrible, terrible smell. But this wasn't covered by the media.
Okay, no, that's what I was going to move to, media reporting of it. What coverage did you get?
I think the coverage overall, I mean, they basically will still stick to the old trite line that it was an anti-trans event, which it's not. I think there was just a general lack of approval of it going ahead. But, you know, this is the reason why we wanted this event to happen, and it was important that it did go ahead. And this is the reason why we were so determined that it did, no matter what. Because it signifies the change in sentiment. This is the inflection point. This is the reason why we called it that. The general populace out there, the everyday mums and dads, middle New Zealand, they are actually gaining confidence to come out and speak against the ideology without fear or of being cancelled or losing their job, et cetera, and so on. Those days are gone. And this is what we want. This is the message we want to tell people.
The media were very, very careful not to let anyone know what we talked about in the conference, though. They didn't come in. They weren't interested. They just called it an anti-trans event and stayed outside, talked to the protesters and didn't bother. It's like they don't want to hear the message, because if they do hear it, they might find they agree with it. I don't know.
Yeah, what is it? What is it? Because it is news, no doubt about it. I know news. It did news for decades. That was news.
Brought into that ideology so much, they just cannot separate themselves from it. Anything that doesn't agree with that narrative just can't be spoken about. No debate.
And there was also a news story, wasn't there, about some horrible self-done DIY transitioning at home that was in that week too. I thought it was interesting that it was associated with that in the Wellington area. So what a week.
It was interesting about that article that was carried by the Herald regarding the young girl who wanted to cut her breast off, because Mel actually addressed this, and it was quite interesting because she had the same thoughts, and it was body dysmorphia. She knows that. And that was, you know, they've done that purposely. They've run that story at that particular time. One thing I forgot to mention before was that they also, and I received reports from four females at the event, there was no soap in the women's toilets dispensers.
Oh, God.
Hey, but like, we're distracting from the really good part of the whole event, and it was the incredible speakers from across the political and religious divide that came together, all really, really passionate about fighting this and willing to work together and forget all of the differences we have. We agree on more than we disagree, and we can work together on this. And that's what I loved. And so many good men, good, strong men finally standing up for this as well. And that's what we need.
Oh, Rachel said when we spoke to her that she'd heard that there were instructions to National Party MPs really not to say anything and just observe. Any politician say anything?
We only had Tania Unkevich turn up from New Zealand First. No other politicians there. But Simon O'Connor, you know, ex-National MP, was there. And it was really interesting hearing him talk about politics and how they don't like the ethical discussions and they try to stay away from all of this stuff because it's just, it can be career damaging, right? So...
Well, not on this surely.
I wouldn't have thought so either, especially when now, you know, one of the things that really came across strongly is, and it's why the inflection point, as Reece said, was such an apt name, is that Bob McCroskey presented all of the research that Family First have been doing over the years. And I think they started researching or polling about 6 years ago, and just seeing how the polling had changed, where when he first started polling, people were kind of, it was like even either way, whether they supported or opposed gender ideology in schools and males who identified as trans in sports. Now it is completely one way. It's by far the majority oppose. So the more we see this and the more that people understand what's actually happening out in society, the more opposed they are to it. But the reason it's been allowed to happen, as Jan Rivers said so aptly in her presentation, it's all just been implemented by stealth, by government, put through policy and government departments, and something little will happen, next thing it's just absolutely everywhere and no one's had a say. And so I think it's time people do want to say.
All right, so a successful event. Yeah. Well, let's end on that. I want to thank RoEdge, Save Women's Sport Australasia, spokesperson back on RCR and the organiser of Inflection Point, Rhys Williams. Thanks for coming on and telling us about it this morning.
Thank you, Paul.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.